Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
This broadcast is on the unknown tongues of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in this broadcast, you're going to learn that the modern movement of speaking in unknown tongues is not biblical. People who have experienced speaking in unknown tongues, either by speaking in tongues themselves or by hearing others speak in tongues, generally rely upon their experience rather than on the Bible for an explanation of tongues. They say, yeah, we've seen it done, or we've done it, and so therefore it must be true. Well, we're not going to deny that their experiences have been real. But what we're going to show you is that tongues in the Bible were not what people are experiencing today. And what people are experiencing today is not from the Holy Spirit. Now, you find people speaking in tongues only three times in the Bible. They all occur in Acts. You'll find them in Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 11, Acts chapter 10, verse 46, and Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Now, let's just look at those very quickly. These are the only three occurrences of it in the Bible. All right, in Acts chapter 2, what's happened is the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples that are there, and in verse 4, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with, it, the Bible says, other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5, very important. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, listen, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, but they're all Jews. Verse 6, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak, watch it, in his own language. And then he gives you the countries they come from, and so you can see all the different languages. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is at Cornelius' house preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ when the Spirit of God falls on Cornelius and his house. Acts chapter 10, verse 45. They of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know it? Verse 46, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So there was no altar call, there was no invitation, there was no prayer to receive Jesus Christ or to ask Jesus Christ into your heart or any of those things that we see today. Peter says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins in verse 43, and boom, the Spirit of God falls on him. How would Peter know it? How would the men that were with Peter know it? They knew it by only one way. They heard him speak with tongues. Remember, Peter and the men that are with him that witness this are all Jews. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Paul is in Ephesus. And the folks up there are believers up to the baptism of John, but they haven't received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've not been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Again, the audience was Jewish. In every case that you've read here, listen, the people who spoke in tongues spoke a language or spoke languages that others in the audience could understand. In none of these references, in Acts chapter 2, 10, or 19, in none of these references was there an interpreter of the tongues. Those who were listening could understand those who were speaking because they were speaking in their own languages. In every case, the audience was Jewish. Why? Because Jews require a sign. That takes us to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Well, who are the signs for? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. These are easy references to remember. They're 1 Corinthians 14:22 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, the Jews require a sign. And so, for God to help them understand what was going on, boom, they see these tongues. And for the propagation of the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, they can begin to speak to all those who are there that don't speak the language that those Galilean Jews were speaking. They're given the gift of tongues so that all these others from every nation who are Jewish can understand the gospel. So when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it is interesting, to say the least, that people suddenly want to make the unknown tongue of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, some sort of strange unknown language reserved only to those very spiritual people who are gifted to speak something that no one on earth can understand but someone who says he can interpret that stuff. Let me say that again. When you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's interesting that people suddenly want to make the unknown tongue of verse 2 some sort of strange unknown language. When every time you've seen tongues up to this point, it's always a language that the audience can understand. Isn't that strange? Listen, read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. You look at that and you go, whoa, that sounds like some sort of deep thing. It's not deep at all. Listen, if the person in 1 Corinthians 14:2 has the gift of tongues, then his audience will be able to understand what he's saying, as you saw in the cases of the episodes of tongues in the Acts of the Apostles. Watch it. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 14:2, Paul tells you that no man understandeth him. If that's the case, he is not gifted the way that men in Acts were gifted. Otherwise, they could understand him. So this unknown tongue is not a gift of tongues. It's something else. As a matter of fact, Paul says that what the man says in his spirit, and mind you, that's not the Holy Spirit. Look here again in verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit, small s, that's not the Holy Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Paul refers to this twice more in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Look also in verse 32. And what do you see? And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So when you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, not the Holy Spirit. His Spirit, my Spirit prayeth. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. It's the spirit of the man, not the Holy Spirit. Now watch it. Paul says that what the man says in his spirit is a mystery in verse 2. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mystery. It's a mystery. Why? Because his audience can't understand him. The only one in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, who can understand him is God. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. You know what he's saying? He's speaking in his spirit, and nobody else can understand him. So it's like two people are talking, and a third person overhearing. And he says, do you understand what this guy is saying? He said, I don't have a clue, man. It's a mystery to me. That's what he's talking about. It's not some sort of mysterious language. It's just a mystery. He can't understand it. Now listen, let's bring it to a practical application here, a practical understanding. If I were to say to you, parlez-vous français? You could not answer me if you did not understand and speak French, because I would be speaking to you in an unknown tongue. You don't know French. As a matter of fact, you would not be able to understand me without an interpreter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27, Paul says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, watch it, at let one interpret. You would have to have an interpreter. And you wouldn't be able to understand me if I'm speaking French and you don't speak French or understand French, unless there was somebody there to interpret, as an interpreted message preached on a foreign field. When we go to the mission field and preach, I have an interpreter because my audience can't understand English. But the interpreter can, and so he interprets what I say in the language of the people that I'm speaking to so they can understand me. All right? You would not be able to understand me if I said to you, parlez-vous français, unless you had an interpreter, or unless I translated what I had asked you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. In 1 Corinthians 14, 5, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, comma, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. What's he saying? You know, there are people that speak more than one language. And sometimes what a person can do is he can get up and he can begin to speak in French and realize that his audience doesn't understand him. His audience only speaks English. Well, then you know what he does? He interprets. He interprets what he says so that the people there who understand French can understand him. And then he interprets what he says so the people there who only understand English can understand him. You know what that's like today? That's like a bilingual church service. When my wife and I first got started helping people in the ministry, we went to a bilingual church. And the preacher would get up and preach and say things in Spanish, and then he would interpret himself in English so those of us who did not understand Spanish, like the children of those who spoke Spanish, or like us who didn't understand Spanish, could understand what he was saying. He was interpreting his own message while he was preaching. That's verse 5. Greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So, if I'm speaking French and you don't know French, you don't understand French, then the only way you're going to understand me is either with an interpreter, or if I translate what I'm saying myself, or by you learning the language yourself. In other words, you may not understand me when I say it today, and then you go and take some French classes and conversational French until you understand the language, and the next time I speak to you, you understand me. You see, the languages that are being spoken or talked about, the unknown tongue in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, is a language that you can learn. Look at this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and look at verse 16, all right? Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, there it is again, that there's the man speaking with the Spirit. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? In other words, what Paul is saying here is, here's a man that's speaking French, and all the French people that are in the congregation can amen what he's saying because they're understanding, and he's giving thanks, and they're like, amen. Well, if you don't speak French, you can't amen him. You don't know what he's saying because you occupy the room of what? The unlearned. But if you learn the language, then you could amen because you'd know what he was saying. Look at it again in verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? Again, if you could learn what the people were saying, then you would be able to understand what they're saying. Verse 24, if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Because now he can learn something, because he's hearing it in the language that he understands. Now, if I kept speaking French to you, and you couldn't understand me, you know what we would be to each other? Paul says we would be barbarians to each other in 1 Corinthians 14:11. Now, the way we use the word barbarian today, that's like somebody of the lowest class, okay? But that's not what the word, that's not how he's using the word in 1 Corinthians 14:11. In 1 Corinthians 14:11, he says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. When you look up the word barbarian, the first definition is foreigner. And that's exactly right. We'd be a barbarian to each other, foreigners to each other. That means we're not communicating because you don't understand what I'm saying and I don't understand what you're saying. As a matter of fact, listen, my understanding, that is, I understand what I'm saying, my understanding would be unfruitful to you because though I could understand what I'm saying, you couldn't. Why? Because my tongue is unknown to you. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:14. 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. That is, I understand what I'm saying, but you don't, so it's unfruitful to you. Look at verse 19. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Why? Because they wouldn't understand what I understand about what I'm saying. That's why it's an unknown tongue. And that's why it can't be understood unless it's learned or interpreted. All right, let's keep on with the subject of what we're reading here. If God were to give me the gift of speaking French without learning or knowing the language, then you know what I would have? I would have the gift of French. I would have the gift of tongues. If God were to give me the gift of speaking French without learning it or without knowing the language, I would be able to speak to Frenchmen though I had not learned the language. That's what the gift of tongues provides. But let me ask you something. What would be the use of me speaking French to a congregation of people who can't understand French? What's the use of that? The only benefit would be that I could show them that I have a gift. I would just be a show-off. And there was a problem with that in Corinth. And there is a problem with this in the churches today. People showing off that they have a gift or think they have a gift by speaking something. But in this case, they're not speaking known languages. They're speaking gibberish. That's why Paul told them, it is greater to prophesy and edify the congregation with a revelation or with knowledge or with doctrine than it is to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verses 5 and 6. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? In other words, the Paul says there's no benefit to you. There's no edification to you at all. If I've gotten this gift and I want to come show you that I can now speak in French when all I knew was English before, you're not going to understand it unless I can also tell you in English what I just said in French. But then what's the use of that? What you need is a revelation or knowledge or prophesying or doctrine. Now, if God had given me the French tongue, and there were Frenchmen in the congregation that day, then I could edify them in French. And so that the rest of the congregation would be edified, one person would have to interpret for the benefit of everyone else who doesn't speak French. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. Watch it, and let one interpret. Why the interpreter? So that the other people who don't understand French can get the message. Now, this is what we do when we take groups on mission trips. One person speaks in a language that the people who come with us understand, and then it's interpreted so the people we're talking to can understand. Let's look at it another way. If a Frenchman happens to be in the congregation one day, and he has something to say, as long as there is someone there who can interpret for him, again, 1 Corinthians 14:27, then he can speak. But if there's not someone there who can interpret for him, you know what he needs to do? He needs to just sit there quietly. 1 Corinthians 14:28. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. You understand? And that's exactly, makes perfect sense. Now, Corinth was a seaport, so there were people from all over the Mediterranean Sea that sailed there. In the church, there may have been people speaking, 20 different languages at one service. Imagine the chaos if they all wanted to say something at the same time. Paul said it would have been a madhouse, literally. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 at verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Well, sure, it looks just like a madhouse because nobody understands anything about what's going on. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of a modern-day charismatic church service. Absolutely. Now listen, Paul never gives you any indication that the unknown tongues of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 are some sort of private, unknown prayer language. They are languages that are native tongues, the native tongues of the speakers, which they can understand, but which others cannot understand without an interpreter. Or else, they are languages that were given as a gift for the spread of the gospel. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. In other words, people standing up in a church service and speaking in tongues, that's not what tongues are for. They're not for the people who are there that are believers. They are for those that believe not. What? So they can hear the gospel like Acts chapter 2. And listen, when they have the gift, they're spoken to those who can understand them without an interpreter. Never, listen, never are unknown tongues spoken to a congregation who cannot understand them. Never. No one in the congregation is going to start suddenly listening to God just because some man or woman starts speaking in tongues. In other words, you're not going to convince people to pay attention. Look at verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 14. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. The Lord says, you don't think that somebody's going to wake up and start paying attention because somebody's speaking in tongues. He said, they won't hear me. Now, what did Paul do? Well, to bring decency and order to Corinth. He says down here at verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. To bring decency and order to Corinth, Paul laid down some rules for speaking in unknown tongues. And he laid those down at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27 to 34. And here are the rules. Number one, by two, at the most by three. Verse 27, let it be by two or at the most by three. You know what that means? No more than three men in one service can speak in an unknown tongue. That would limit the amount of time because of the need for the interpreter. Number two, by course, in verse 27, by course. You know what that means? Each man speaks one at a time. Number three, let one interpret. Since the tongue is unknown to everyone but the speaker, notice he can speak to himself and to God in verse 28, there must be an interpreter. Four, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, so he can't speak. And then number five, jump down to verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches. No women. Women are not to speak in an unknown tongue or interpret in the church. Men only. Now, you know something? These rules are violated by modern-day tongue talkers and tongue-talking churches all the time. Let me say it again. These rules in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 through 34, are violated by modern-day tongue talkers and tongue-talking churches all the time. women speak in tongues in these modern churches. And more than one person speaks at a time. And more than three people speak in tongues. Those are all violations of the rules laid down in Scripture. All these churches violate these rules given by the Lord. Now think about it. The Holy Spirit is not going to violate Scripture. John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. Listen, he's not going to violate Scripture. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He is going to obey those rules. So those who teach that gibberish is a gift of the Holy Ghost and that disobedience of the Scripture is allowed in their cases are wrong. W-R-O-N-G. Now let's get practical here. Why not just speak English to an English-speaking congregation? Or why not just speak Spanish to a Spanish-speaking congregation rather than speaking something that requires an interpreter? That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:19. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. You know why they don't just talk in plain English? You know why they don't just talk in plain Spanish? You know why? You can't show off and make it look like you have the Holy Spirit if you behave. We're going with Paul. We're going with the Bible. We're not going with Scripture-violating show-offs who are not concerned about edifying the body of Christ. Like Paul said, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now listen, if you want to stick to the modern day tongue movement, that's your prerogative. Like Paul said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Verse 38. And I leave you with that. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.